The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With the rise of artificial intelligence, concerns are also rising about whether or not AI will replace you in your job. Thankfully, the reality of AI in the workplace is more complex than either complete job displacement or simple augmentation. And to explain all, I'm joined in studio by the Managing Director of FutureWise, Peter Cosgrove. Peter, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
So what is happening in the marketplace?
The concern is real that a lot of jobs are being changed by AI. So tasks are being taken out of jobs. So any job where it's very much a process job or a job that you can actually see you do a lot of repetitive tasks, AI is starting to work out how to do that. And unfortunately, it learns all the time, so it starts getting better at this all the time. So there is right to be worried. As I say to everybody, it'll only be part of your job. So the employers are trying to get rid of those because it's cheaper. And employees need to always understand what the skills they have that they can do other jobs or other things.
So what kind of jobs specifically might be impacted by this? The people who are currently doing something that's ripe for replacement.
Yeah, the starting point is those customer center jobs. A lot of those are now being done by agents, and you wouldn't even know it's not a person. They're very impressive now. It sounds like a person. It acts like a person. I'm not talking about the chatbots that don't work very well. These are actually real people. Then you've got marketing assistants, kind of marketing executives, HR assistants. That was the starting point where kind of a lot of those jobs are processed. But the areas of finance, tax, law, a lot of those are very, very data heavy. And that's what AI loves. Anything with a lot of information. I'm not saying it's all perfect, but that's where they're being used because they understand there's huge benefits for employees.
Now, obviously, it can crunch numbers brilliantly, absolutely. But the accuracy of anything you put into, you get out of AI depends on what you put in. Yeah. So if, for example, the wrong numbers put into the accounts, you're going to get the wrong answer.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I would say to people is, because people love, there's loads of great stories out there about how AI gets it wrong. That's often where somebody puts something in AI and just accepts it as true. I always say, treat it like a graduate who's fairly new at the job. They're very good at putting lots of work together, but it doesn't mean it's all going to be right. Somebody needs to check that work. So when somebody says, oh, AI did this and it didn't give me the right answer, usually if you check it, you'll work out, you sense check it. So we still need people to do that sense check. And that's good news. You know, we would expect that. That's wisdom. That's years of experience saying something doesn't feel right.
Now, how big a change is this? In the sense that I remember when I started in RT all those years ago, there was the typing pool. And rows of people, you know, at desks with typewriters. And of course, technology came along, initially word processors, but eventually a computer on everybody's desk. And so many of those routine tasks, getting a letter typed. Can you imagine such a thing?
Yeah, I mean, all of that's changed. What's interesting is we've all become our little own bosses now, that we all do our own typing, our own mail and so forth on email. What's happening now is, and actually the next generation almost don't text, they use voice. And actually it is a lot more efficient. You can read into a ChatGPT or a Claude very, very quickly, and it comes out with a perfect letter. You don't need to even to type the letter. You just say, this is the letter. I want to send something to Pat. Here's the idea, and off it goes.
Now, there are people who say, look, I'm in the creative area of work. I mean, we know that AI can write very good country songs at the moment. Some of them will even make the charts. So when it comes to, say, being a copywriter in advertising, where people will say, this is the essence of creativity, I mean, can AI effectively take over that?
Yeah, I would love to say it can't, because I think those creative jobs are amazing and there are lots of people who do brilliant things. The reality is, like most things, often that's quite very much a process like anything else. You've come up with lots of bad ideas and then you come up with a good idea. That's how creativity works. There is no reason why AI can't copy that process. And if you just think of simple things like video analysis, being able to create videos, what I say to people is AI is doing things pretty well. That doesn't mean it's excellent, but in a lot of areas, pretty well is okay for organizations.
Now, in terms of employing people, are we going to be interviewed by bots?
Yeah, we are. And graduates are already constantly been sitting there and they're sitting watching a screen, being asked generic questions by AI, who is then looking at their facial features, their tone of voice. And this is causing all sorts of strange things. We're seeing lots of graduates fighting back. They have a laptop beside them with AI running, telling them what answers to give the AI. So it's almost not the answer you think you want to give. It's the answer you think AI will want.
So you've got an AI interviewing an AI.
Yeah, so this is slightly worrying, because if we're trying to actually stay in the business ourselves as humans, we probably need to be doing less of that. But that's the kind of my biggest worry about that is companies are all about efficiency, but saying we managed to get a person really, really quickly doesn't always mean you got the right person.
Now, what about the CV? Is that changing because of AI? I mean, it seems that even a human employer can look at a CV and say, that's AI. That's yeah. not a person doing their own thing. A machine has written this.
Yeah, it's funny. I was in a school yesterday saying I used to give advice on CVs, but the reality is like grammatical errors and spelling checks, none of those are an issue anymore. I actually think the problem now is companies don't realize that there's a huge amount of CVs out there where people are all looking exactly the same. So people are adding in extra and extra skills. And now the algorithms have to look at other things. And there's a book by Hilke Schellmann where she talks about the fact that in America, men who play lacrosse get better interview ratings than someone who doesn't. Because they've seen historically people who played lacrosse were clearly very good. That probably meant they were from a fairly privileged background. So the reality is when everybody starts writing in all the skills, AI have to go and then look for other things.
I remember, Peter, when I was writing a script to introduce Colm Tobin at the Doggy Book Festival, and I decided to try AI, and I had a half-decent introduction, but it wasn't my style, and I wasn't going to use it. But before we went on, I said to Colm, hey, listen, Colm, I got AI to write an intro to you. What do you think? And I read it to him, and he said, I've heard that intro 6 or 7 times in the last couple of months. Other people who were interviewing him had used AI, ChatGPT as was at the time, to write an intro. And it was the same.
Yeah, and there is no doubt that that's going to happen a lot because people are, I have to say, maybe getting a little bit lazy about it. But it's exactly the same point. If you introduce somebody, the bit that matters most is generally that personal one-liner that you give about the person that you might know about them, the reason you're there in the first place. Mm. If you don't give that, even the audience understands it's a little bit more anodyne.
Now, the question of the risks attached to using AI for things. I mentioned earlier, if the wrong figure goes in, the wrong answer will come out in the accounts, for example, and maybe it won't be picked up by the auditor because the auditor is, in fact, a bot as well.
Yeah.
And then something goes wrong and your client sues you.
Yeah. Well, look, there's lots of areas in AI that people haven't really thought about. And the one, again, from that book, Hilke Schellmann, she talks about is nobody knows what's going on in the black box anymore because you have to be a PhD to actually understand how AI works. And even many of them go, we're not really sure how it's got there. The bit I would worry about most is not just the wrong numbers, because I'd like to think a financial accountant picks that up. But when you're actually screening CVs and you don't understand where AI is taking data from. Often it can be taking data from historic health records, other information. And if you don't know where it's coming from, down the line, you might actually get sued by an employee who says, where did that come from? And nobody's actually able to often tell where that is. And that's a danger.
So you get kids coming out of college, for example, they're looking for their first job, but AI is eliminating that first job. So if you like, they're looking for now a job at another tier, maybe a higher level, but they've no experience to qualify for the higher level.
Yeah, we're seeing it even before that. The internships that used to be everywhere, they are becoming incredibly competitive. The problem with an internships was we actually get you to do lots of really basic stuff as well as teach you, you know, the ropes. Mm. But if all those basic things are not needed, why would we spend our time not just teaching you? That's not really our job, you know. So this is the problem. As you said, the entry-level jobs are becoming very, very difficult because nobody wants to spend the time giving them that training when an AI can do the basic job. So they're still there and they're still needed because guess what? If we don't have those people, where is the funnel down the line?
Well, that is the point, that if you don't get the experience at the basic level, absorbing the culture of the organization, for example, and seeing how things are done rather than the machine just spitting out the finished product.
Yeah.
You're missing a huge element in your experience building.
Yeah, and also, as I said, you know, we are irrational beings, and that's good news. You know, and that irrationality means suddenly we do things that aren't normal in organizations that can end up being amazing innovations or creative ideas. Those things aren't happening with AI. AI is just doing what you tell it to do. So we still need the people in the machine.
So what are you saying to the kids in school now?
Firstly, I would say to them is don't choose this a course based on the point system. It's just a supply and demand. Just because if there's only 20 places in history in UCD, it would be 625 points. But people have this idea that they waste their points. The number one thing is pick the thing you want to do, but do not think of a job at the end of it. This is not usually the kids, it's the parents going, but what are you going to do if you do history? Or what are you going to do if you do philosophy? All they can think about is you're going to be a philosophy teacher. There's many, many things. There's more people in technology companies in America who've done a humanities degree degree than have done a technology degree. Well, you're there to ask questions. You know, so I say to them, if someone said to you, what would have happened if Hitler died in 1942? Nobody knows the answer. And I said, that's the sort of stuff they need. They need to debate, challenge, persuade. And these are the skills that are going to become really important, because these are the transversal skills that we take from one job to another. Unfortunately, things like coding, much more likely as a hard skill, that it won't be around in 20 years' time because AI can do it. But those soft skills, they're not going away anywhere.
We used to have a mantra when I was in college studying engineering, that you can turn an engineer into a banker, but you can never turn a banker into an engineer.
Yeah.
Look, and there are careers like that, you know, that are not in any way transferable without getting the proper qualification.
Yeah, Pat, we always felt sorry for the engineer because they actually worked really hard in college, you know. And there's a few of them did. And there's no question about it. The hard work, you know, as I said, as well as whatever degree you do, hard work, turning up, having the right attitude, none of that is ever going to change.
Peter Cosgrove, Managing Director of FutureWise. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.